You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us on the first Wednesday of the month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is here. Good morning, Darren. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I'm doing well.
Glad to have you with us. Lots to talk about, lots to catch up on. Let's talk, first of all, Darren, about dairy farms in Wisconsin. How are our dairy farmers doing?
So DADCAP's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, we're looking at that number, continuing to dwindle. So next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, which is because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated or confined to too small of a number of people or businesses in control of that, it really puts the whole system at stake. And, number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. And looking at what's happening with the dairy farms, we're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down? What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair market. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a cost production for the products that they produce, so that they can stay in business and that, new farmers can actually come into the business too. We're looking right now that if you don't have a relative or somebody that is helping you get into farming, and that's all types of farming, you really don't have that opportunity because of the high asset prices that are on the equipment that we need, the land that we need, and, making sure that that's available. And number two, stop handing out government, or number three, I should say, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms at prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
That's really interesting that you say that, Darren, and I don't think that that's something that folks realize what impact that has. And you kind of referred to it when we talk about the concentration, giving three companies the control over essentially our beef, our chicken, our pork, and our produce. That's only good for them. That's not good for competition. It's not good for our farmers. It's really not good for anybody except for those companies. And there has to be a concern. And I saw a politician in Iowa talking about this. His big concern, too, is this whole go big or go home. Under the first Trump administration, Sonny Perdue was the agriculture secretary. I remember him saying this, you go big or you go home. And that isn't sustainable for a lot of smaller producers like you are.
Right. You know, and number one, there isn't enough cows for every single dairy farm to be milking 10,000 cows.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said earlier, we need that diversity. Yeah, certainly we need some larger farms, but do we need 100,000 cow operations, which would be what it takes to keep the food, or 1 million cow operations is what, you know, the perfect world for some people is, you know, but in reality, that is not the perfect world. That's actually a world that's going to be turned upside down, is nobody is going to want to work for that kind of a setup. You know, we're looking at the current Trump administration and what they're doing to the workforce on farms or around the country, you know, depleting our natural working force, you know, and trying to bring in something that's not natural is not good for all the system from the top to the bottom. And, you know, whether it's the farmers, whether it's the processors, whether it's the grocery stores, whether it's the distributors, you know, you have to have people that want to do that job. You can't force people to do work.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air and Civic Media, and we are talking to the president of the Farmers Union of Wisconsin, Darren Von Ruden, who joins us once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, to give us a breakdown of what's happening in the farming industry in Wisconsin and outside. And you bring up the natural, the workforce, that's immigration, and we've spoken to you and to Hans Breitenmoser and other farmers that hiring immigrants to do the labor in and around the farms is just something that is a part of life. And by taking them away and deporting them, disappearing them, kidnapping them, takes also away from your businesses being able to run smoothly. And unfortunately, and I can't remember her name, the secretary who made the speech saying not only
Brooke Rollins,
who said no amnesty for undocumented folks, and all you Medicaid cheaters, you can go to the fields and work in the farmers. Well, that's not how this works, because Darren, I don't know. You haven't emailed me saying that there's jobs available for me to come and get. I mean, I'm not on Medicaid, but I'd love a field job. I would come and just knock on your door. Do you have a line around your property saying, hey, put me to work?
Yeah, you know, my farm is not that type of setup, but certainly there is operations like that around the countryside that they are looking for workers. But, you know, when you get down to the numbers, the number of people that are actually defrauding the Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security system in this country is not going to fill those jobs that are being lost right now because of the Immigration Enforcement Act.
Yeah. No, they're not. And we've talked about this the whole time. Good heavens, if there were that many people who wanted these jobs in the first place, we wouldn't be in this situation. And I can only imagine. There has been criticism, Darren, to be fair. There have been some criticisms about farmers taking advantage of undocumented workers so that they can get paid less. But I think it's important to realize also, in order to get these specific work visas, that's quite a process as well.
Yeah, you know, I have never done that myself, but certainly have talked to enough people that are doing that on a regular basis. And yeah, you know, you don't just fill out a slip of paper today and have a worker on your front step tomorrow. If you're going to go through all the correct legal channels, which most producers and folks that are looking to hire folks do, and, you know, it can take up to 3 weeks to actually get an employee through that legal process by the time you get the State Department to okay somebody to come from a foreign country to work in your property. That's their. You know, I'm hearing right now that even those folks that are here legally by their papers and have everything they need are worried about getting picked up and hauled off to a jail in another state, most likely, where they're not, you know, familiar with. And being from a foreign country, it's just a scary situation. And, you know, looking at what our immigration system has done to build this country to what we're at today, to have it being destroyed and you know, scaring those high quality workers away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a scary time down the road unless something is changed here in the next 2 to 3 months, probably.
Well, Well, and that is not an unfounded fear, tragically, that people who actually are here legally on a green card or a work visa or whatever in some of these indiscriminate ICE raids, because that's what they are, they just come in and grab everyone.
Yeah.
And I have read numerous stories about people saying, look, I have my papers, I have my documentation. That doesn't seem to matter. They, as you said, Darren, they whisk you away and send you to another state and nobody knows where you are.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing more and more stories about farms in other states. I haven't heard anything about Wisconsin yet, but maybe that's because we are such a purple state and these other states are red states that are having issues of immigration coming in and taking half of the milkers for the morning shift. And so then, you know, the farmer is supposed to try to find a workforce to fill them 10 jobs, you know, and their family members have been contacted that they're no longer there. So they're not going to go to work where ICE might show up again.
Yeah.
And that family might only have two family members that can fill those 10 spots. Well, you need those 10 workers to get those cows milked and fed. And so it really becomes a bad situation in a really fast timetable.
And on the other side, we can also talk about someone who's come out on audio and in an event. President Trump has said, we need to help the farmers out. All of a sudden, I don't know if the tune changed or he saw the numbers or maybe just someone said, hey, people helping farmers, that's good. Okay, I'll talk about that. It just seems like all of a sudden he is proposing and on the side of the farmers to stop all of this stuff happening.
Well, again, I go back to, in my estimation, this administration is not good at looking at consequences. If we do A, here are the things that could happen, B, C, and D. This could happen, this could happen, this could happen. It's just Stephen Miller wants 3,000 people snatched today. Doesn't matter where they come from, doesn't matter who they are, whether they're here legally or not. We want that quota filled.
Yeah.
We want that quota filled no matter what. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
This is not a good place to be.
Yeah, you know, and certainly looking at what's happened with the Trump administration and the canceling of grants and programs that have been very beneficial to the small producers, you know, those programs are gone today now. They're trying to bring some of them back under different names and different language. But certainly that doesn't make up for the difference that the large farmers received in government checks already for corn and soybean prices dropping drastically after the Trump administration first started. So how do we get to a point where every single farmer is treated exactly the same versus picking winners and losers, which this administration has been doing, is picking the winners, which is the biggest farms, and the smallest farms that really can use some extra help are the ones losing.
We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Ruden. President Trump has thoughts about people who pick our produce. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, if you have the Civic Media app, you can also leave us a voice note. You just record your little voice note and you send it right to us via the Civic Media app. Make sure you have the app. It's completely free. You'll need it on Friday for Free Ticket Fridays.
Yeah. Well,
we will have a 4-pack of tickets, club level seats.
Those sound really good, Jane.
To see the somewhat exciting Milwaukee Brewers.
They are on fire.
They're hot right now. They are hot.
Best record in baseball.
So make sure you download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. It is, as Greg likes to say, absolutely free. He joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. So grateful for his time. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden is here. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the raids that are happening on farms and the Wisconsin continues to lose dairy farms in the state. And Donald Trump, who at one point essentially said all the immigrants were rapists and killers and murderers, he had comments yesterday about the people who pick our produce, mm-hmm. essentially. Calvin, let us play that clip from President Donald Trump, please.
Back to their country with a pass back in legally, and we're doing things that are very difficult to do and very complex, but it works really well. We're sending them back, and then they're schooling, they're learning, they're coming in legally. We have a lot of that going on, but we're taking care of our farmers. We can't let our farmers not have anybody, these are very, these people, that they're, you can't replace them very easily. You know, people that live in the inner city are not doing that work. They're just not doing that work. And they've tried, we've tried, everybody tried. They don't do it. These people do it naturally. I said, what happens if they get it to a farmer the other day? What happens if they get a bad back? He said, they don't get a bad back, sir, because if they get a bad back, they die. I said, that's interesting, isn't it? You know,
That's interesting.
That's our president of the United States talking about some of the people who pick our produce. If they can't get a bad back, they die. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing to me. But now, apparently, Darren, everything is fixed because when they do these mass ICE raids and they grab everybody off these farms, they just throw them out of the country and then they go learn things and get different. And then we let them back in and it's all good.
That's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a lot of those folks are going back to their country and they're staying there because they don't want to be treated the way they're being treated in this country anymore.
So they're not going to even, if they're going back, they're getting deported to their home countries and they're like, I don't want to go back there. I don't ever want to go through this again.
Yep. You know, that's what the word on the street, especially in California, and they're close to Mexico, and certainly Mexican agriculture is going to be the benefactor in this whole process because they're going to be able to, produce more produce, which is what they're really good at in Mexico, and send into this country. And so that's another issue with that national security issue I was talking about earlier. When you become dependent on another country for your food source, we are in big trouble.
You're in a bad state. Yes.
Well, and I also like, just as a side note to this, that entire whatever you want to call those words, the swipe at, quote, inner city kids not doing the job because they've, quote, tried for so long. Well, if you want to entice young kids, inner city kids, or as they like to call them, black kids, because that's who he's talking about. Let's not dance around the dog whistle here. Okay. Get them education in farming life. It's not an impossible thing. You can put it out there. Say, hey, are you interested in growing food? Are you interested in farming? Here's the thing. Also, then you need transportation to those farms the work. And if you're not going to do any of that, then yeah, a kid in Milwaukee isn't going to say, you know what I want to do? I want to go pick corn in Middleton. How is he going to get there? Okay. So it's just so offensive. And Darren, you are one of the strongest people I know just for the fact you're a farmer in this state, in this country. I don't know how you do it.
Well, it's a passion. And the thing about a true farmer with a bad back still gets up and milks the cows, still gets up, feeds the chickens, still gets up, harvests the corn, plants the corn, still does that. So, this idea that urban agriculture can't happen, well, under this administration, it's not going to happen because they've cut the programs that were helping a lot of inner city folks develop those urban farms that were actually feeding their neighborhoods. And for us to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on the richest farmers in this country and take it away from the smallest is just another thing that the Republican Party has been doing for decades. And this administration has just highlighted the worst of it.
Well, and you just have to wonder if that ultimately isn't the goal, to kill off all our small farmers and make sure that we have three companies that run them all.
Yep. And looking at what's going on the countryside right now, too, JBS, which is the largest meat processor in the country, Brazilian owned, is paying $100 per head more for animals right now because they're making big profits in Australia, New Zealand, and Brazil. So they have extra money to play with here in the United States in an attempt to run either the second or third company out of business so that they can therefore bring in that under their belt too. You know, and this administration is doing nothing about it. And actually our president is endorsing somebody that's in jail in Brazil for doing exactly what's happening.
Yeah. Exactly. Darren Von Rudin is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He joins us every month at the first Wednesday of the month. We learn so much when you're here, Darren. Yeah. Thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We'll see you in a month. Stay with us. News coming up next, and then audio sorbet, most overrated desserts. It's National Root Beer Float Day. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball. The boys are hot. I know you're very happy.
Best record in baseball.
We got baseball 540. Our broadcast starts. The crew at the Braves. You can listen on terrestrial radio if you can pick it up on WRCE in Richland Center in Oshkosh, on WISS here in Racine, Kenosha, WRJN in beautiful Park Falls, WCQM, and in Hayward on WBZH. The Brewers at the Braves this afternoon. Our broadcast starts at 5:40 today.
If they win today,
yes,
this will be their fifth sweep in 1 month.
Wow.
Yeah. They won both their games against Atlanta this week. They're on their way to winning their third. They could possibly win their third. I didn't jinx it last week. Get out of my mentions.
No, I think it was Scott Walker who jinxed
it,
actually.
I agree. But yeah, this, if I'm not missing, one, two, three. I think this will be their fifth sweep in a month.
Impressive.
And as Paul Noonan said, if you want to listen back to that discussion from last week on Thursday, it's not luck. It's not a fluke. This is solid planning, solid movement of team members. This is real good baseball from front of house to field play. It's good stuff. So, yeah, it's exciting.
J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here tomorrow.
Yes.
For sports after 10:30. So, join us for that. But, yes, the Brewers in action later on today. Our broadcast starts today at 5:40 as they are in Atlanta. I wanted to share this real briefly. We got a text come in. Jane, this is Cindy in southwestern Michigan. I am listening over the air on 5:40 a.m. We got quite a bounce across the lake, apparently.
That's amazing.
I love your show and Civic Media. Thanks for keeping us in touch with reality. Cindy is in Water Valete, Michigan, which I looked up on the map.
Nice.
It is nice.
Nice.
Pretty close to the coast there.
I don't know why. I just love that. I just love the idea of listening to radio that far away. We were talking about off air. It's like on a good clear night, usually, especially winter, you can hear the Opry over
over AM.
Chicago. WSM in Nashville.
Oh, in Nashville.
And so it's just, yeah, I just love the idea that we're on AM radio reaching all the way to Michigan. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Cindy, and thank you so much for listening. Really, really appreciate it. Always appreciate it as well if you can spread the word about Civic Media and let people know that we are here. Mm-hmm. And you can also find out how to support us at civicmedia.us/support.
Yes.
Civic Media, we are a little unusual. We're a little special.
We are actually classified as an entity that serves a public good.
Public Benefit Corporation.
Oh,
Public Benefit Corporation.
Yep.
This is the time of the show where we like to lighten things up and get away from the news. We call it Audio Sorbet.
Where we clean your ears with fun.
When we get Matt Nair on air shirt merch, that's going on shirt.
I'm ordering small Q-tips and on the little not Q-tip portion of the Q-tip,
yes,
on the little plastic or whatever. It's just going to say, cleaning your ears with fun since 24.
I love that.
There you go.
There's so much potential. Yes, so today is, Calvin found this, it is National Root Beer Float Day. And that started us talking about desserts off the air. And we said, it's like, not everybody loves root beer floats that much. And we started talking about most overrated desserts.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What is the most overrated dessert? Someone comes to you, with a plate. You're at a party, whatever. Here, have a slice of blank. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, I'm going to save my calories for something else. 855-752-4842. What is your most overrated dessert? Also, if you'd like to weigh in on Root Beer Float Day, maybe that is your favorite dessert.
You know, when I see root beer floats, first of all, it immediately takes me to childhood.
Yes.
When I was growing up.
It's very much a kid thing.
Yes. But then something you rediscover as an adult and you say, oh my gosh, I can go to the store and buy ice cream and get root beer and have a root beer float right now. I don't have to do it for any reason. I didn't win a championship in Pee Wee Sports.
I can have it anytime I want.
There's a place in Waukesha that was not down the street from the old WAUK studios, but close to it, called John's Root Beer. And it essentially is like an A&W, but it's been there since I was a kid. I remember going to John's as a tiny boy, like 4. And you get a root beer float, you get a hot dog, you put some ketchup. Now I put some mustard because I'm an adult.
Right.
But yeah, that triggers so many childhood memories. And I don't have them often because I kind of – super, super special, not even occasions where it's just I want it in the moment and then I won't have it for years.
Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. There you go.
Most overrated desserts, 855-752-4842, as we celebrate National Root Beer Day, Root Beer Float Day.
There it is.
To be accurate. Calvin, do you have one? What is your most overrated dessert as our resident young person?
Well, I will say I do enjoy a root beer float, but maybe I guess it is sort of a little overrated in the sense that if I go to Dairy Queen or any other sort of creamery,
I'm sorry.
It's not what I would order.
Yeah.
Right.
No, same
right,
here.
If someone offered me one, I'd probably say, sure, but that wouldn't be what I would order.
It would also have to be at a root beer stand type of place. You go to restaurants nowadays, I'm sure both of you have been to these types of establishments where they have something very simple like a root beer float. But it's $17 because it's deconstructed with the finest this and that. I'm like, dude, just give me a cup of Barks, put a slab of vanilla in there, put a straw in there, and let me live my childhood again. I remember going, and this is a similar story. I went to a bar in Milwaukee, and they had a Harvey Wallbanger on the menu. I was like, Harvey Wallbanger? That's what my grandma drank when I was a kid.
And I love the name.
I love the name. This is gonna be like a $3 drink. It was $19 because once again, deconstructed with burnt oranges and blah. I'm like, dude.
For heaven's sake.
And also, Jane, it wasn't like the drinks we grew up watching our parents drink. It was in a rocks glass. That was probably maybe 3 to 4
and
ounces.
It was $19.
Oh, it was such a still makes me mad. But yeah, I want just a plain Jane, no pun intended.
It's better, root beer than better than insane.
There you go. Yeah, I just want like a regular, just give me the basic version. That's what I love.
855-752-4842, most overrated desserts. We have Jim from Appleton texting in, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, Black Forest Cake. I personally love it, but lots of friends and family can't stand it.
What? Isn't it just
I think that's with cherries.
Dark
chocolate,
yeah.
And with cherries.
That sounds amazing.
That's right up my alley, man.
That's not I'm not going to eat a whole cake of that. Well, I shouldn't eat a whole cake anyways.
But a nice hefty slice.
Oh, give me a slice. Oh, mother glory.
Calvin?
That was going to be my overrated. It's just chocolate cake and chocolate ice cream in general. I won't say I completely dislike it, but it absolutely needs like some vanilla ice cream to cut
all the chocolate.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah,
but I would go for Black Forest cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most overrated desserts is our audio sorbet for today. 855-752-4842.
What about you?
Mine would be angel food cake.
You know what?
That was my mother's favorite. And all of our birthdays, it was never, what kind of cake would you like? Can I get for you? No, we got angel food cake with confetti ice cream. And to me, angel food cake is like a bad sponge.
Mm.
It's a bad, flavorless slice of sponge.
Unless there's coconut on a cake, I don't believe there's anything as... Well, no, German chocolate cake is also terrible. But it's the worst.
That's because it has coconut in it.
My people took all good things and ruined it. Potato salad, German potato salad, get on my face. But no, it's the thing of when you go to a place and there's cake and you're really excited and it's angel food with some like just regular frosting. It's like, can't you throw like a layer of jelly in there? Or can't there be like a, like, I just feel like angel food cake is just so disappointing.
It's flavorless. It's a frosting delivery system.
Exactly.
And if it's going to, then you need something better than confetti ice cream, I'm just saying.
There's so many better options out there, and they're not crazy expensive either. Just do something. I mean, I'll even eat an ice cream cake. Actually, I really love ice cream cakes, but same with root beer floats once in a while.
Once is good.
But yeah, angel food cake just kind of gives me like the, look, I'll eat the whole slice, but I won't be happy.
I will eat this under duress.
Yeah.
Most overrated desserts at 855-752-4842 as we celebrate National Root Beer Float Day. Ollie from the North Woods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie.
Well, I'm going to celebrate National Root Beer Float Day.
There you go.
Because I can remember every time, which wasn't very often, that we got to go to the A&W. There were four little girls sitting in the back seat, and our dad always got the tray delivered to his window.
Yep.
And he had to take a big sip out of everybody's root beer.
Quality control.
So we didn't spill.
Yeah.
And to this day, we still complain about dad taking and drinking everybody's root beer.
That's great, Ollie. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My dad used to say he would take a sip of my soda or something. He would go, I just want to make sure it's safe.
It's a quality control
check. Yeah, I just want to make sure, you know.
Obviously.
Ben in Richland Center, listening on WRCE, said pineapple upside down cake, which is kind of outdated, but I think it's overrated. Good rhyme. Also, I have never had a pineapple upside down cake in my life.
I think he's right it's one of those older desserts. My mother used to make that.
It feels like that is a labor intensive dessert. It's not just the mixing and the baking. There's more.
You got to put the slices on the bottom of the pan.
Yeah. Plus, hot fruit has never been my jam.
But you put pineapple on pizza.
No, I don't.
Oh. I thought you were a proponent of.
I am a proponent of, simply because I tried it and I didn't hate it after years of being against it and never trying it. Now, Calvin's thinking of the movie Avatar. That's a whole different story. But the point is I will have some if I'm there, but it's never going to be the pizza I order. It's never going to be the thing I make at home. But yeah, hot fruit is just like cherry pie.
Oh, I love cherry pie.
I love cherry pie. Well, no, I love pie, but I would rather have like a... I don't know. I honestly, when it comes down to it, I just rather have cheesecake.
That's a whole nother,
I'd rather just have cheesecake.
That's a whole pie fight. It's a whole nother different audio sorbet where we'll fight about pies.
Yeah.
PJ gets the last word on this. We're talking about overrated desserts. PJ says donuts are overrated because you can get them at gas stations, grocery stores, and bakeries. They count as a dessert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think donuts count as a dessert.
I would like to also recognize Andrew from Maine who sent this in. Audio Neapolitan sorbet. Jane is sweet like chocolate. Greg is widely beloved like vanilla. And Sweet Cal B is the sleeper that more people like than they want to admit like strawberry. I didn't read that correctly. I apologize. But yes, I'll take that.
Calvin's the strawberry.
He's the strawberry that you secretly say like, oh, but you like it. You love it. We love
There's
Calvin.
There's a secret love for Calvin. Yes, absolutely. thank you, everybody, for taking part in our audio sorbet.
Research,
yes. And go enjoy National Root Beer Float Day.
Yeah.
Go have fun. Coming up next, this shouldn't be a thing, the Go Puck Yourself, P-U-C-K edition. You're listening. I said it right.
I know.
You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kelly Teeny on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking before we took a short break about audio survey. Our conversation today was about most overrated desserts.
Yeah.
A couple of texts we had that I wanted to get in before we wrap this up. Liz from Saukville says fruitcake, blech. There's a lot of people who agree with you on that, Liz.
It's one of those things I treat like scones. Basically, not great. When they're good, they'll blow your mind.
If they're can keep it on the moist side.
Yep.
Yeah. And Sue from Franklin, cake in general is bad. Give me a chocolate espresso martini anytime.
Okay. Sue just wants to drink.
I mean, the way Sue thinks.
I don't want dessert. Give me alcohol.
A dessert in alcohol form, that always works.
Someday I'll tell you the story how I ate a whole rum cake and it didn't go well for me as a 12-year-old.
Oh, there's a segment. Calvin, file that one away for future use.
Oh, man.
Coming up tomorrow, busy, busy show. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to join us after the 9:30 news. One of the things we're going to talk about again, Jeffrey Epstein's dead and he just won't go away. And the president says that moving Ghislaine Maxwell, a convicted sex offender, from prison to Club Fed in Texas, he says it happens all the time. So we're going to kick that around with Jim Santel and find out just how normal that is. In hour number two, a little bit lighter tomorrow, weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We have some scorching hot heat. Coming in this weekend. It's going to be another steamy one, it looks like, for Saturday. So Brittany will have weather details for us. And then J.R. Radcliffe joining us to talk all things sports. And again, we can talk about those boys. Our Brewers are doing really good.
It's been a while for that young man. We haven't seen him in a time.
Yeah, we've had some scheduling difficulties. So J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us tomorrow after 10:30. Right now, Calvin, 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from the Associated Press and Cedar Atanasio as the byline. This is all over the place. There is a video element that's worth checking out. The headline reads, Seattle NHL team's mascot has a close encounter with a brown bear during a video shoot in Alaska. Seattle Kraken forward John Hayden and the mascot, which is a troll, had a close call with a brown bear while they were shooting a promotional video in Alaska. Knee deep in the river, they're both wearing waders with other fly fishing gear. The bear charged the mascot. They're in there, they're filming their thing.
Of course.
Shooting things just fine. And all of a sudden, here comes a brown bear charging the mascot, splashing water, but turned away before it contacted anyone. They and the film crew eventually waded back to shore through a gentle current. Nobody got hurt. The NHL team says it did not intend to include the bear in the shoot, but why not?
When asked for comment, the bear said, sorry, I thought you were Mike. My apologies. I'm sorry. I'll get out of here. I see you're shooting. My bad.
That had to really make everybody sit up and take notice, I would imagine.
I know that mascot outfit's probably being sent to the cleaners twice this week. So there's that.
There is that. Brown bears are pretty common in this area because there's a big river there, and it's a big salmon river. Mm-hmm. So bears tend to hang around there so they can get their lunch.
Do you think this bear looked at it and just it turned into a salmon like in the cartoons?
One big salmon with waders on.
One giant salmon.
Bears are everywhere in this area. This is their territory, said the head of the marketing. They're also super used to seeing humans, so I wasn't scared. All right.
Wait, who said that?
The head of marketing. Kraken Partnership Marketing Director Melissa Obrachta.
She wasn't scared?
They're super used to seeing humans. I wasn't scared.
Okay.
The run-in between the brown bear and the promotional video for their team, their NHL team, happened last month as part of an annual trip promoting youth ice hockey.
Love that.
And again, fortunately, nobody got hurt. Bear is good.
Yeah.
He's a hockey fan now. He wants to be the mascot.
He's more of a St. Louis Blues fan, really, when it comes down. But he'll take a job.
He'll take a job. Yeah, if you got a mascot opening for him.
That'd be fun for an alternate mascot night, like they do in baseball a lot of times.
Great idea.
The Seattle River Bears.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, we have a busy show for you tomorrow with Jim Santel, Brittany Merlot, J.R. Radcliffe, and much, much more. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everybody in traffic and all the folks at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening and joining us on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and Pete Schwama 6 to 8 p.m. coming to across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.